do
Zach,
it.
Zach, Jeff, Zach.
Kelsey.
Zach, Zach, Kelsey.
You better be Kelsey.
No shit. Kelsey calls more than I do.
Stay tuned for Talking Trailers with Corbin Angel.
That's a lot.
Seven times.
I love that you still have my not real name in there as your contact.
That's what you're in my phone as.
Oh, Nintendo cabinet. Appreciate that.
It's the original reason.
Welcome, everyone, to Season 3, Episode 8 of the Fresh Pinball Podcast. The four of us sit around this merry little rectangular table to titillate your ears with some post-expo pinball talk. To my left, the man who I've called at least half a dozen times today on the telephone.
I was just counting.
Mr. Corbin Angeli. Corbin, how we feeling, buddy?
What's cooking? I'm just happy to be recording. I feel like we've been slacking on the recording thing lately. Totally. And I'm excited it's now that
it was summer, though. We're busy.
Yeah, it's getting chilly out. We're getting back into the pinball and getting back into the recording. I mean, pinball, we do a lot of pinball every day, but still, recording of the pinball.
Us a little bit of credit, though, because I was listening back to our previous episode earlier today to make any notes that I needed to make, and we questioned whether or not we would record again before the quarter-up Halloween party, and here we are.
There we are. Oh, yeah.
And that's good. I'm excited to talk about that, too, because I've got some good games up there. We got some other stuff coming.
Yeah, you've been building it up. It's going to be a good time. But, yeah, we'll circle back to that here in a little bit. And to Corbin's left, we have Zach Angeli, my GTO partner in crime. How we doing, buddy?
Oh, pretty good. You know, just hanging out with my pinball pals. Got to ride in the GTO today. So, you know.
How were the numbers looking on the way over there? Looking all right?
It was looking pretty good. The only number I saw that was looking bad was the mile per hour. It wasn't fast enough.
We'll get that up on the ride home.
The MPGs were.
The MPGs were going down.
They were right on point.
It's miles per gallon on something like that.
Always. Smiles per miles.
Yeah.
And to my right, I have the star of the Pinball Olympics, Mr. Kyle. Mr. Kyle, how we doing, buddy?
Flipping fantastic.
Heck yeah.
You were the star of the Olympics.
Was I, though?
You were. You were my
Jeff
little social butterfly.
Three medals.
I did.
Kyle pitched
medals.
Scott Denisi a game.
I mean,
I'll just put that out there. But
that's a dream right there. We can't talk about it on the podcast because someone might.
NDA's been signed.
Yeah.
But I just want to say he pitched it. And I'll say I think Scott was he's on board.
He sold it hard.
Yeah. Did good work. Anyway.
Jeff,
on.
How are you?
Yeah, how are you, Jeff? Tell us.
I am feeling beyond flipping fantastic.
Oh.
So what is beyond flipping fantastic?
Cracking walnuts.
Something like this.
Fantastically. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm going to have to work on the verbiage on that. But
something like that.
I mean, I called Corbin like 8 times today. I just walked into Zach's house unannounced. I mean, everything's just coming up Jeff right now. I thought that we were recording this podcast at Zach's, so I just meandered like into his house unannounced. You know, like, hey, everybody, how's it going?
Oh, hey, I thought we were doing this at Kyle's. And he's like, I thought we were doing it here. I'm like, well, give me a ride.
I was very confused. So here we are. We're recording. We're already on the topic of Pinball Olympics. Let's just start there.
Let's get into it.
Because I think everybody else, you know, right now is recording their post-expo recap, and we'll definitely dive into that. But let's talk some Pinball Olympics.
Expo.
Yeah.
I think I was at Olympics longer than I was at Expo. So.
Agreed.
Yeah. So what do we want to talk about first?
Yeah,
what's new? What was new? Like what our favorite was? What are we thinking?
Let's start with what was new.
So the top new one I think that stands out in my memory. I'll just jump right in first.
Yeah, do it.
The Cactus Canyon with the bull in front of it for multiple reasons. One.
50 flips?
It was in party mode. I had never played Cactus Canyon in party mode, which then led me down.
It changed it.
It does, and it led me down a rabbit hole, and we'll talk about that in a second. But like, so you had 50. You got on the bull. You turned it up to 11. That was the speed that you had to set.
So the bull was essentially like a mechanical ride on horse, simulated horse.
It's a horse simulator. Yeah.
Yeah, like they have like country bars or whatever. And so, you know, you just set up to 11, then you start the game. And so it was set on party mode, and you had 50 flips. And basically, each time you hit a flipper, it counts down. There was a couple things you could do to get more flips. But
like
whoever,
a skill shot?
Yeah, the skill shot, well, you add 10, add 15.
Which was cool.
It was very cool. And so then whatever came first, three balls or the 50 flips, and whoever got the highest score won. So, I mean, we had some good rounds on it between the all of us.
Yeah.
And then a couple of people from the crew actually ended up meddling. So I think Keith got second.
Keith was silver and Kyle was bronze.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the last minute that guy slipped in.
7.4 million.
That guy slipped in at the last minute and got it. So,
I GC'd it first time.
So I thought that was, in my opinion, one of the coolest.
That was my favorite.
It was pretty sweet. New cool one. And then the coding on that, though, is what really got me interested. Because on the drive back then, I got down the rabbit hole of like looking up like, okay, how did he add, you know, how did they add this party mode? And so this was an original Cactus Canyon, and every so often it would freeze up and they'd have to reboot it or whatever. And when it was loading, it said P-Rock. So it was like, what the heck's going on? So it's an original. And on Pinside, I found a thread, and some guy like about 10 years ago started working on a project to add more features to Cactus Canyon, because 10 years ago, Cactus Canyon didn't even have match sequence. It was the unfinished game. You know, there wasn't that many of them out there. And so he added the party mode. Actually for the people at the Pinball Olympics. Like, they were part of, like, talking. If I read through it correctly and understood it correctly, it seemed that, like, he was a big part of getting that mode added in. They also added the Drunken Multiball, which I thought was, like, because we played the one at VFW, and it has all the extra features as well, because it had Drunken Multiball. So when I got the remake and I'm playing it, I'm like,
Why
the hell am I not getting Drunken Multiball?
I played this game a ton. I can't find it.
And then you read the notes on the extended version they're supposed to be releasing, and, oh, Drunken Multiball is going to be in that. And it's like, oh, wait. So apparently, you know, it must have been a thing for any of these guys running these originals.
Yep.
Was that they got this P-Rock, and then they also ran it off P-Rock, and then like a Raspberry Pi for the computer. To add in all these codes, but it's still active. They're still adding things to it, and it almost makes me think like, man, we might need to get an original to get one of these little extra modes in there.
Yeah, but
is Chicago Gaming ever going to finish that?
So that's what I was just going to talk about. Is I know
it, is it an addition too? Like, is it like, so what is the actual the brain of the thing? Are we running a normal board with a piggyback?
In the one, the pictures that I saw, they didn't open up the one.
I mean, I should
know
more. I bronzed on it.
But they had the original board sets in there, but then the only one that wasn't was the audiovisual board wasn't in there. In the pictures I saw, but I wasn't sure what was still being used or wasn't. And I didn't. We were driving, so I didn't fully read all of it, which I will because it's interesting. But it seems like it was a combination of both.
So in terms of what's happening with the Chicago Gaming Company version of it is, on their tour that they did during Expo, they showed off some of the physical things that are going to go on with the expansion, as well as talked about the code.
It's Playfield add-ons, yeah.
Right, so essentially you're going to buy like an upgrade kit, and with that kit you're going to get upgraded software as well as some physical. Yeah,
let's do it.
It'll be available.
I'm ready
for everyone. So I don't know that all of the things that we experienced on, you know,
I know Drunken Multiball will be on it. I don't know about the party mode. I just really hope that party mode is, because I really liked, even if that game was just on party mode there without the bull, probably would have still been towards the top, because I just like that interactive game, you know, like kind of like co-op mode or something like along those same lines. Where
I mean, that's
a different style of non-traditional pinball. And
that
solidified
my love of pinball is on Avengers.
Yeah,
they have that mode.
Where they have a party mode.
No, there's a flip count mode.
Yeah, so you get into one of the gems, I forget which gem it is. It's for Doctor Strange when you get in it, and Keith Elwin uses it again in Godzilla. There's a mode that you get into that's a certain.
Rick and Morty has that too.
Yeah,
is it the when you're in the cage match fighting?
Right. So those sorts of things are fun. I saw that Barrels of Fun just did with Labyrinth a code update to where you can play coded stall ball. You know, anytime a ball goes into a scoop, it stops and someone moves. But they coded it even more interestingly to where all of the shots on the play field are lit white or whatever color, green, that, hey, these can still be hit. Once that shot's been hit, I think they said three times, then that insert turns red. And if you hit that insert or you hit that shot, it's the same as the ball draining and you're out. So you can't just shoot up the middle all day to stay alive to try to get into a scoop or to
another
get into
non-traditional.
Places.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like for Kyle's birthday, whenever we did the stall ball tournament, or, you know, the year before when we did, split flipper, those sorts of things are just fun and engaging just a different, unique way to play pinball.
Definitely. Right. It's like flipper football almost too. It's a different game in its own.
What was I seeing? So Steve Prusa up in the Cleveland area is working on putting together a custom-built Big Bang bar. Are you guys aware of this?
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I've seen Prusa cruising around a little bit about.
So he's been collecting parts. He's been all of this like stuff.
A scratch build kind of an idea.
A scratch build sort of that thing. Water. So he went out to Mike Pasak's and he found
a bunch of shit.
He found some stuff out there. He's using a flipper football donor cabinet with some modifications to do the Big Bang bar cabinet. The
head would be different. It's gonna be the challenge.
That's what he talked about. And then the main thing that he still needs to get that he's not going to be able to make himself will be the actual physical play field itself. So finding one or finding one that's been reproduced. So I'm very interested to follow this along. Play fields
I don't think are out there as far as I know. I mean, I've looked, I mean, a little bit.
I've seen NOS play fields for Airborne.
Yeah, new old stock, because at Pinbrew or somewhere we saw him for
Kleepin,
sure. Kleepin, maybe, yeah. I know I saw him somewhere. I don't think there's a Big Bang bar out there.
I don't know. Yeah, but they never mass produced.
And I think, because there's also guys that, like, when you read the Big Bangs that pop up and you read some of the ads, it's like, if there's extra ones, those are the guys that have them.
So
it's interesting.
It's attainable. So let's say he has to spend $2,000 on a play field. And, you know, the whole build cost $5,000. He's essentially got a $30,000 game for $5,000.
That one in Chicago is under 30 now, I've been considering it. But
Stop considering it. They said
we'll trade for new Stearns. I'm like, ooh, let's play.
We've got some stuff.
Venom LE.
All right, Zach, what was a favorite event for you at the Pinball Olympics or maybe a new event that you saw that grabbed your interest?
Always a favorite is the TNA booth.
No doubt. So you guys were in it. What were some of the upgrades?
Dude, first off. Watching.
It was a lot louder, I feel like.
Yeah, the lights are crazy. Doubled the amps, I think, or something crazy.
And doubled the lights.
I didn't realize last time either. There were shaker motors in the floor. If you look under the game,
there's like four or five of them.
Yeah. Watching Ryan McQuaid, is that his name?
Ryan McQuaid.
Ball one, dude, four reactors. Oh, so good. He's
killing it on ball one in there. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
The getaway with the little the car toy with the doors and stuff.
So I didn't get to play that.
I played it for like a second, then it was broken.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was cool though. It was neat. Something different.
Cool look.
Yeah.
What else did we play? The balls on the playfield for No Good Gophers.
I had a good time on that.
That was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
Makes me want to get some time on that No Good Gophers when it gets traded in.
Literally what I was just thinking.
Because I've played it before here and there a little bit, but it's one of those non-traditional games too with the scoring to where you're not really trying to score points. You're trying to get as few strokes as possible to complete your hole.
And then also the Congo tent was pretty cool too.
Okay. I didn't play in there. I just went in there and looked around.
It was hot.
Yeah,
was
that's
hot.
Why we didn't wait in line.
I was going to suffocate if I was in there.
I liked it. I was like, okay, I dig what they went for, cool, but I'm not saying
it put a whole vibe to the machine, you know.
So I went there first. That was what I'm doing with your
furnace room when I come over. Don't be surprised if you wake up tomorrow.
It's so hot.
I'll have a couple heaters in there.
88 degrees in there.
Bring some anise plants over.
But I'm in there. I'm playing. Some big leaves. And there's one guy in an ape costume, you know, just pointing at the play field, kind of messing with you or whatever. And then all of a sudden, I feel somebody grab my cow. And I'm like, what is going on here? And
Kyle's not in here.
Right, and then I feel someone like brush up against my shoulder. And there's another guy that's like popping up in and out of the bushes, like messing with you as you're playing. It's fantastic.
They're just sitting around. They're like, dude, we should put Congo in the Congo. And then we're like, I'll dress up like an ape. Like, yeah.
And how committed do you have to be to do that for 4 hours?
There's a big fucking tent.
Yeah.
That wasn't like a little like garage tent. Like
I love the commitment.
The Sharks though for Jaws.
Yeah.
They were hustling hard there.
All right, Kyle, what were some of your favorites or maybe a new favorite?
Kyle liked the
obviously you're a medalist on the Cactus Canyon.
Oh, the Equestrian Cactus Canyon. That was fun.
Vodka gimlets or whatever it was?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's what Kyle liked the most.
Yeah, I did like those. They were pretty delicious. Vodka gimlets.
Well, I thought it was pretty impressive though. Like literally we were not even in yet and the same server from last year immediately found you and remembered you and tried to hand you a Corona.
Immediately.
We were two steps down and he was hey.
But how wild did it get by like the third and fourth hour where there were like 8-year-old children walking around serving people Coca-Colas? Mm.
Yeah, it was something. Yeah, it was a step up from last year.
Okay, so I did.
So did you find out Ken Norton go? What is
yes, the, yes? They're cool. So yes.
Oh, okay.
I quite enjoyed playing Elvis with the tilt bob in front of me.
I did not play that
which you did way better than me. I couldn't even get a ball started. I was tilting out.
So you had like a hard hat on, and then like a
It's the one they had on Big Guns last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was on Elvis.
Yeah.
Do you think they just, like, hang out with, like, these different things that they have to plug into the games? And they're like, yo, let's put the helmet on Jaws tonight or, you know, whatever.
Like, oh, like,
they
switch just, around on Random Tuesday night. Yeah,
like,
night.
They just have, like, a shelf totally. Of all of it. And they're like, what do you want to get out tonight? Like,
hey, oh,
the
what's bull. Your IFPA number? Nobody cares.
Yeah, yeah right. Because they had set up the two Metallicas the same way they'd had the Godzilla set up the year
the
before.
The tilts, yeah.
And then the DDR pad was hooked up to two different games.
It wasn't
Fast Break. It was Fast Break last year.
This Fast Break, the DDR pads.
This year again?
Yeah, because Mary Beth and I played, and we had to do Sudden Death on nice. It. Mm. First was cool. I beat her, by the
we
way.
You should get those Fast Breaks.
As you should.
Yeah.
Fast Break.
Fast Break.
So for me, I, you know, the ones that I did well on obviously resonated with me more. The Rick and Morty Portal one was a good time.
I was playing that for a bit.
So I'm over there playing. Was it you, Kyle, that was recording? Someone was recording me, and I was just like, okay, this is definitely going to look a little bit odd after the fact, but it has the Rick and Morty portal stuck like a big piece of plywood with a hole cut in it, and then it spins like the portal does, so you have to move your head and your body around to keep your view of the playfield going.
And if you've never met Jeff, he is quite gangly.
I'm awkwardly proportioned.
Yeah, slender, man. Like, I have arms, and I'm tall.
Did anybody play the trash one?
Trash one,
which but,
one
no, with the big fan,
with the big the four fans.
I kept like trying to get in.
Right, but
no.
Every time I'd wait in line, it was just going too long, and I just would we because you and I waited for a while, then we wandered off.
Yeah,
I just didn't want to wait for things.
Yeah,
I did the dryer, the game in the dry, the dirty Harry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a challenge for sure because I didn't realize the drum inside the dryer could still spin. So all of a sudden, I'm just like rolling back and forth,
It's everything with the hand controls, and you think you're about like you're like. What had the pistols hooked to it?
Iron Man.
Yeah, so you're playing it, so you like go to nudge, and you're like smacking a pistol around.
Kyle was laughing at me because I'm shaking the right pistol, like trying to nudge. He's like, what are you doing, you idiot?
It's the same with the beer tapper one, when you use the mug.
Yeah. So let's talk about the main event of Pinball Olympics, the treadmill challenge.
Yeah, I'm still reigning champ. I mean, what do you want to talk about?
So how do we... They weren't able to get the treadmill operating properly. So the story is, when we got there,
we were talking to them, and, you know...
It was too dangerous, right?
The speed is too much.
Stuck on full blast.
They're like, it was too fast. I'm like, oh, because last year it was so slow. And he's like, no, I literally jumped on it, and he's like, I was running full sprint, and, like, within 4 to 5 seconds, I was at the back of the thing again. He's like, it was like, man, people get fucked up off this already, but, like, we're really going to fuck people up this year.
Yeah, that one.
And so they decided that, you know, they weren't going to do it. And, what are you going to do? You know, I don't get to defend my champion. And then later on, they came and found me and gave me the mug and said, you know, you're still the champ because it's undefeated. So I'll take it. I was ready to run. I had my shoes on. I thought I was going to get to beat
Jeff
this
year.
Was
that like a total see you next year wink?
Oh, well, yeah, for sure. It was like absolutely like you'll be back next year to do it. It's like, yeah, I'll defend it again next year.
You were definitely getting some looks from the gentleman who had won it.
Oh, yeah. The X-ray champion.
The X-ray. Like, he was ready.
He was eyeballing me up for sure. Especially when they announced it. I felt the glares. And I'm like, hey, dude, it is what it is. I was ready to take you down. He's a young gun. What do you expect?
Yeah. Well, and then Tank got the third place mug. We brought home two mugs.
I want to say, though, I was ready to take that guy on. He would have, if I would have saw him and we would have been going against each other, I would have been good.
So we established that the game was going to be Medieval Madness, correct?
Yeah, it was
correct.
Going to be on Medieval Madness.
Scheduled to be Medieval
I love
Madness.
Also
oh,
that
man,
they were going to
just.
Oh, dude, just get a couple castle multi-balls or whatever and just hop off. But I love also that they like waited till the night before and they're like, all right, let's set it up and see if it works.
Like, oh, I feel like Toys totally would be doing like, oh, dude, we'll
test
the treadmill.
Test the treadmill.
Because I know last year when I watched them adjusting the speed a little bit, they literally had put like screws on the adjustment thing. So like you can't turn it down beyond this. Yeah. You can't do it, you know, above this.
Bridge stop. Disabled.
Well, it looked like it was straight out of the 70s. Like it was barely like belt driven.
She looked old.
Yeah. She'd seen some
Not
miles.
A lot of safety features.
Definitely. Right. There were safety features though on the magic bowl or whatever on Cactus Canyon. It had like a little.
Oh, the game piece?
The little sorry game piece or whatever that kept
the
it
magnet.
Going.
Yeah, I was ready to defend my title. I was, and I'm glad you saw that too, because I was like, is he glaring at me? Like, what the?
Oh, no, I felt it. Well, I knew when you showed up on Friday. Because
he's like a pinball life guy, too, so he's like in there like little
He's in the inner circle.
He is. I mean, what are you going to say? I want to, fair or square.
You showed up on Friday in your tennies and shorts, so I knew you weren't messing around. Like, you were mentally prepared, mentally focused.
Yeah, got to be.
So who did we see in the Mad Pinball Circle out there? The cooks the Lazars. For sure.
When we first got there, I walked up immediately, oh, TNA. So I'm looking, and they have like the TV so you can see
monitor.
And
yep.
They're killing. I'm like, holy shit, I know them. And it was the cooks and Lazars in there, so.
And then we saw some of our Buffalo Sousa, people, yeah. Dave Sousa, Kevin Mayne.
I wish I had more time to talk to him because our interaction was like, it was at the end and it was like for like a minute and 15 seconds.
He was running around Expo like every time I saw him, I'd talk to
him. He's
a
pretty
like
popular guy. Minute. We're pretty cool. We could talk to him sometimes.
Definitely.
He's going to be bummed though. He missed the.
Oh, so the feature, the spotlight of the week. Was on Thursday.
The whole week, damn! Like, the,
oh no, this maybe the year. This might be in my top like thing of the year.
On Thursday,
we went over to Interium for the media mixer. Kyle and I for the podcast, and you know, we're walking around, we're talking to this person, that person, you know, being our little selves, and then it's time to play some games. So I go over to play one of my favorites, Toy Story. I swipe my card on it.
Toy Story 4.
Well, yeah, of course. The best of the Toy Stories.
There isn't like 1, 2, or 3.
Oh, they're not there. Shit. You haven't played a 1?
I hit the start button.
Never played Toy Story 2.
Ball enters the trough. Jeff plunges the ball. Jeff goes to flip the right flipper. There is no flipper button. Somewhere along the line, the flipper button had gone MIA. So Kyle, to his credit, fixed the flipper button by using one of his drink straws. to flip the right flipper, and away he went playing three balls on Toy Story 4.
Has anyone rethemed Toy Story 4?
High score of the day, man.
It was high score of the day.
High score of the day.
So you just did one and done?
That was it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, then immediately after that, he went over and played Godfather. So he went Jersey Jack.
He played Godfather before.
Jersey Jack. Yeah, I played Godfather. Back to back.
Damn.
That was the only time I'm ever going to play that game.
That's fair. You played it.
You did it, dude.
You played it in its optimal form.
I literally took my little straw.
One flipper, but the button missing.
Put it inside. It has two flippers on the right, and just press it on the leaf switch.
I think those are leaf switches. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they're leaf switches.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could feel it.
Well, that wasn't all the Jersey Jack fun you had. And then on Friday, you accompanied Corbin and I to the Jersey Jack VIP party where. You not only talked to Jersey Jack himself, but also Jersey Jen.
Yeah. Yeah. And Steve Ritchie. We talked to Steve Ritchie, too.
Little Steve Ritchie.
We talked about the brisket. Yeah. It wasn't good.
Yeah, he's like,
don't eat that shit.
No, he's like, 2 out of 10.
That's what he, yeah.
Gordon Ramsay wouldn't eat this shit.
Yeah, that's what he said. So then immediately we're like, we should go try it. I'm just curious. And then we're like, he's right. Yeah,
he's right. He's right.
Speaking of food, though, Taco Town at Pinball Olympics also.
Oh.
They did not disappoint.
They not. I had seven tacos.
Seven? You have been training.
Damn. I only had like three or four.
I went with three.
I won three.
I want one of each.
But I mean, I did go a little heavy on the drinks. I had a 7-Up while I was there. Oh. So I mean, things got pretty wild.
Speaking of the Jersey Jack mixer, you were looking real fancy with your cranberry.
I had a cranberry club soda.
I was drinking some Heinies.
Yeah. No, that was a good time. So before we deviate too far away from Pinball Olympics, any final takeaways on Pinball Olympics? Obviously, lived up to the continued hype, the expectations. And honestly, what was awesome for me was seeing people that I know either know us or listen to the podcast that helped those tickets sell out as quick as they did show up and have such a good time.
I agree. It's just exciting that it's like something that I feel like is one of the favorite pinball events we do of the year. Absolutely, by far, you know, one of the top ones for sure.
It's probably one of the top events of like ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
It's not just like, it's just a passion.
Right. And getting to share it with other people and interacting with other people there.
Right? Can't wait for next year's, you know.
Absolutely.
Yes. I want to see what's new and I want to get on the treadmill. So
I just feel like we should
we should offer them a treadmill. I'd be willing to donate a treadmill to the cause.
Absolutely. My parents don't use theirs, but, we could, it also inspires me to, I'm good right now. Do something of our own, like just come up with something crazy or event wise, like just I just love the passion.
And I do too.
Inspiring to do something because we don't do anything.
Right. Yeah. We don't do anything.
It's true.
Speaking of not doing anything, let's talk about the quarter up Halloween party that's coming up. So that's going to be
Monday.
Yeah, so we're recording today on Thursday the 24th. It's going to be at quarter up
October
on 24th. Monday, October 28th. starting at 7 o'clock. So let's talk about some of the cool.
Do you have a costume?
Oh, of course I have a costume. Are you kidding me?
Okay, I'm curious. What is going to be? Yeah, so we've got some. We've been adding the Halloween games.
What have you been started? What have you already drug up there?
So already, so far, we added the black and white monsters premiums up there.
Ooh. With all the accessories.
Yeah, the worst. We discovered the first week they were getting a little rough with it, and we discovered the tilt was apparently cut. So, newsflash, it's reconnected, and
I don't know where
you
it
can
is.
Tell the shit out of it now.
So be nice to the game.
Be nice to the monsters.
So we have that up there. We added Scared Stiff is up there now, which is formerly Kyle's. Well, it's still all of ours. I mean, essentially, but it used to live here at Kyle's.
Right.
Color DMD, super clean game, super fun game.
Plays buttery smooth.
It does. It does. And then today I added Dracula. Bram Stoker's Dracula's in up there.
Missed multi-ball.
Yeah, and it's a fun game.
That is, it is. Such a fun game.
Yeah, it's kind of
I feel
eerie.
Like you missed your moment with that game because that and
I did. Shadow.
Shadow came in at the same time and you felt the pressure of, okay, I need to get a game out there.
No,
so.
I was shit about getting a bunch of games at once. So I'm like, well,
let me put this one out.
And literally it went out. I brought it in for like 2 days and it's back out again. But that's okay. I have my time. And so that's what we've got up there so far.
But hell of a lineup. I mean, come on.
There's the lineup up there. I mean, Avatar's back up there.
Yep.
A little bit spooky.
Looney Tunes, Bond 60th.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bond 60th is up there. Elton John is still there. Jaws, Lebowski, Pulp. Anyway, yeah. So I think, but by Monday, we're planning on adding. So if we do this thing on Monday, we got to do a stop a quarter up too. Because
we do.
We're going to add America's Most Haunted, I believe, Monday.
One of 150?
I think it said 150. Yeah. So that's Spooky's first game. They did 150 of them. Maybe Ghostbusters too. If I have a chance to wipe it down real quick, I'm thinking let's throw that up there too for fun.
It'd be nice to have it up there, let people experience it a little bit. Maybe throw a for sale sign on it and see if somebody wants to take it home.
It's a pro, so if somebody wants it, I'm not giving it. So yeah, Ghostbusters pro. I think that's it. I don't know what else. If anything else speaks to us before,
I mean that's a great obviously lineup for a one night event.
There's only like one or two games up there that hasn't been turned over in the past year.
That's everything nuts. When you were telling me that out of like almost 25 games, like that you're talking about. Turning over two games a month. That's.
And I keep them consistent in the eras. Like, if it's a WPC, it gets traded for WPC. If it's Stern, Stern, you know.
For somebody who doesn't have a madman's manifesto of all of the things that you're taking in and out, like, you do a pretty good job of keeping it straight mentally.
Pinball map, baby.
Pinball map.
So, yeah, that's coming up, though. It's going to be a costume party. It's going to be a hell of a good time. Yeah, come play some pinball with us.
Please do. So let's hit a couple fact check items here that I had from the previous episode.
Uh-oh.
So something that I didn't hear in the moment but was pointed out to me was when we were talking about it trying to import a Hexa Space Hunt, I said, if you know someone with a cargo ship or have a cargo ship, let us know. And in the background, Kyle said, we don't want the play fields on those games going haggis on us. And somebody asked what that meant. What does
I can
going,
tell you what that means.
Yep, take it away, Corbin.
Or you can go for it. It means, I mean, at the time, they would ship them to the dock, and then they would sit in these containers for, like, months and months.
Yeah, but didn't they have, like, a plastic protector over it, too?
It was like a weird thing. But either way, because... Yeah. From sitting in the containers in the heat in the tropics, or because they're in Australia, right?
Correct.
So it's hot there.
Yeah, it's slow boat from Australia to.
But they didn't even get on the boat immediately. There was like a 3 to 4 month period where
until it was full.
Yeah, and they would just sit there and they'd bake, and so like that. I assume that's what he was talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. We did get to play one.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, and I'm still on board to get one over here. Like we just got to figure out. How it's going to make sense. Maybe a couple at once. I don't know.
If I hadn't already called you like 8 times today, I would have called you a 9th time and be like, hey, I'm going to restart this conversation with the people over at Hexa because I am.
We can drive around tomorrow and talk, so it's okay.
That's true.
Because I'm picking you up from dropping the car off, so I got you kidnapped.
You do. I'll be trapped. Be truck trapped.
Jeff, I was hoping you were saying someone calls like they had a cargo ship or something.
That's where I was.
Are we about to have a cargo ship? This is awesome.
Well, I thought maybe it happened. Hexa.
Well, both Zach and Corbin are former Boy Scouts, so I think it was Morse code that they were sending it to me in. So I'm going to need you guys to decipher the messages later.
For sure.
To
tell SOS, me. That's what they said.
I don't know if that's what they were saying. They might have been saying we have Hexa pinball. But yeah, we got some time on it. I think that's the game from Expo that I played the most. I played no less than 8 games on it.
That was the one when we got there immediately. You were like, go play that one.
because it was at the Pin Sound booth. It wasn't at like a Hexa pinball booth.
It was kind of asleep. It was kind of hidden.
It was, which I liked.
I don't think people realized necessarily like what it was.
I know. I kept pointing it out to people, which was a bad idea because then I had to start waiting in line. Mm. So, Kyle, what were some of your takeaways from the space hunt?
I wish I could hear it better.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, wish I could hear it.
I think sorry, if that not to interrupt you. That's just my
cranked up.
Yes.
Which it was in the Pin Sound booth.
So I know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like right there. Nobody was like, oh, hyped about it. I was hyped about it. I thought it was great.
Well, I'd read after the fact on Facebook or Pinside or somewhere that it's built on Pin Sound boards, and that's why it was in that booth.
Okay. That makes sense then. Yeah. So was that Rob Burke's?
So Bear sounded real good.
That was Rob Burke's Space Hunt, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Confirmed. I wish the sound was louder because that's a rockin' soundtrack. I was impressed with the build quality. I love that it had the mirrored back glass. The powder coating was nice. It felt solid.
Like some weird legal issue, like you can't import it.
Yeah, so it's not UL listed yet. Right, so to import it, it would need to be UL listed. And from what I've read, it's like a $30,000 investment to like have it sent through the process to get that done.
And they're going
to
make like 20 games or something.
Right. So the only way that you can get them in is like one-offs as I'm sending you a prototype, and then you can get around that. But you
can't
send
them in commercial.
I mean,
I'm still kind of intrigued by that idea.
Oh, you know. Yeah. Yeah, you know I'm intrigued.
We're sending our current prototype back, so we have to find something else.
Yeah, it was a sad day whenever I saw you pin pod the Turner pinball eclipse back.
We had
up.
A good time with it. I really enjoyed it. I really hope, I mean, talking to Chris at the show, and it's like, I want to continue the conversation. And I hope that in the future, other games, if they want to have a testing ground or whatever, I would love to be on board.
What did you get on plays, like 4,000 to 6,000?
Yeah, it was somewhere in there.
I think it was over 4.
And the beauty of it
I didn't take one after Pin or
that it game. Did over at Pins Mechanical of a couple thousand plays. I mean, a flipper, nothing. I mean,
I rebuilt the flippers before it went, and they did nothing after
that. Right, and that was after like 2,500 plays.
It was already at like 2,500. Yeah, when I sent it over there, so. Yeah, I thought it held up really well. I thought the interaction, like their interaction with everyone at Expo this year seemed like...
blew my mind.
It was crazy. I think it was super positive.
I've never seen the pinball community that universally positive on the same thing ever.
All the terrorists.
Well, maybe because they actually saw a product that was produced and a product that had been sent to people.
Comparison.
Look, we can actually do this and... took all the feedback and everything. I mean, they...
in a comparison from a year ago, like, he listened and made his changes.
Oh, a complete 180.
Yeah, I would say there's probably 4,000 to 5,000 plays on it and rebuilt the flippers, and I think that was it, right?
Yeah. And I will say now...
That's what you're going to do with a brand new Stern. With anything, flippers are going to get rebuilt.
If you want something unique, if you want something quality, and you want something that's only going to be one of 100, hop on Turner Pinball's website and... order one, because I know Chris is saying that they're down to just the last few handfuls of spots left. They're guaranteeing your deposit that if the game doesn't ship within 12 months from the time that you place your deposit, it is refunded.
And they're ramping up production, so they're coming.
Yeah, they're good. Well, I mean, the first four were the four at Expo, and those went home with their owners. So cool. If you do end up...
and those owners allowed them to play those?
Yeah.
You're getting it on the ground. They got a good deal discount.
I'm sure there was
a
show discount.
And it's like you're getting it on the ground floor with this company now. This is like the America's Most Haunted, I guess.
Well, look at all the little things that they were doing with this that they showed us at the show.
Well, where they actually delivered a game.
Yeah, where they did the wrench that was embossed Turner Pinball. They had the ratchet strap that was Turner Pinball.
He's not looking. This isn't going to be one game. This is going to be a thing.
And that's what he talked about, it being a platform of things that they're going to build off of in the future. So you do get the double guarantee if you reserve your game, and in the code line you put Mad Pinball, then we also will guarantee your deposit on the game. If your game doesn't get delivered within 12 months, then and Turner doesn't take care of you, Mad Pinball will. So rest assured that we believe in Turner that much. But yeah, we're excited to continue to partner up with them. Sad to obviously see the prototype go back home to Texas.
Awesome run. Awesome chance to get to have it here. So yeah. I'm stoked about it.
I mean, it got rounded and it was fine.
It did.
Yeah.
Ran hard.
So my takeaway from Expo, I'm going to start of my... so loved Space Hunt. Mm. Loved everyone being on point and just ecstatic about Turner Pinball. Those things were great. But my favorite thing at this show was the homebrew section.
Agreed.
It really is
good. There was a lot of cool stuff over there.
Mind numbing. Yeah. Like,
the play field on ball axes, the Borderlands 2.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy.
So Thursday night, Kyle and I are walking around with the boys from the Electric Playground, and they're introducing us to some folks. You know, oh, here's the Pinball Circus 1.5. Here's this. Here's that. Oh, you guys, we got to introduce you over to the guy who did this Borderlands 2. Get over there. It's like, this isn't that impressive, man. It's just like a standard cabinet with basically a bare play field. What's going on here? So we start up a game, and all of a sudden you see that this play field can full... I'm not going to describe this well because there's no way that you can without seeing a video. But the play field itself can fully articulate up, down, left, right. What would you call the mechanics?
Like a ball axie, you know, like on a mill or a lathe, how it can, or a 3D printer even.
Like screw and unscrew. Screw
balls, pretty much.
So you get into certain modes on the game.
IKEA furniture.
And, no, better than that.
And now you have a motion controller that you pull off of the lockdown bar.
You can almost think about one of those ball games that you have to tilt a table and like get the ball in certain areas and stuff.
It's just like that, except certain inserts light up that, hey, you need to hit this switch, you need to hit that switch. I was blown away by that one. Over at the Electric Playground booth, they had the Friday the 13th game, which I'd played at TPF in March, so I didn't play that again. But then they had one that I hadn't seen, which was the Tony Hawk Pro Skater game, which
was the first time it's been anywhere, because they were kind of like, their buddy's been working on that for a little while.
Yeah, because he's from the St. Louis.
That Friday the 13th is
gorgeous.
Fucking fantastic.
Yes.
It's just so impressive the time that these people put into it.
Then Ryan McQuaid had his Sonic Spinball game over there, which has been a fan favorite for a long time. The Dukes of Hazzard game, which was a previous Best in Show winner. And I think the winner this year was the Greatest Showman game, which was a re-theme from Whirlwind. And it was...
And so was
I saw that. There was a line constantly. I kept on like, oh, I'll play that.
And those, both of those were re-themes in Whirlwind.
Yep.
Because Whirlwind's a hell of a game. One of the best fucking games ever.
There it is. There it is. But yeah, homebrews were... That
what about
was,
the giant, the one that made Hercules look small? Is that considered a homebrew, or is that just like a Rob Burke project?
It's I respect the heck out of the man. I mean, that's... Yeah, so Brian Allen art on there.
Oh, so sick.
Yeah, artwork. We were over there a little bit, and they were talking about just the size
exactly
of the mechanisms.
I know exactly how to make those flippers work, too.
Gave me like a bit of a
two-cycle 75cc engine.
Is it going to be pull start?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. Put your quarters in, and you get like three pulls.
What was that called?
Mega something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like kind of GTF, but like on steroids, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
And next, sweet. And the colors were great.
It was next to Hercules and made Hercules small.
It's like they really should have had it, Hercules, and then a normal pinball next to it for the full effect.
Yeah.
Because Hercules already dwarfs normal games.
And to accurately play it, I feel like I need Corbin on one flipper, me on the other flipper, and then Kyle in the middle directing us.
Yeah. Like calling out, like,
this is what
tower.
You need to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something.
Hit that something.
So then, also on my podium of things that I enjoyed at Expo was in the far back corner, back by one of the concession stands, they had two of the, I think they're the Spanish games. Hoops was there. And then
Tokyo Drift.
The Tokyo Drift looking one. And I played the Hoops one, and it was a good time. Like, it's not something I'd spend $7,000 on or whatever it goes for, but it was well put together. It was a fun time.
I played the Tokyo Drift one, and I thought it shot okay, and it was one that was like, oh, it's actually too loud, and I don't like this game.
Yeah.
So
fair enough.
Kyle, we finally got to play X-Men.
I was just going to say, we still don't have an X-Men here to play.
I enjoyed it. I played it a lot. We played at Expo. We played at the Microphone Bar.
Yep.
Microphone.
Logan. Microphone.
Is that what it's called? Microphone.
Microphone.
Like whatever.
We played at Logan too.
Yeah, and I said we played at Logan. Yep. I played it everywhere that I could.
It was
awesome. I can't wait to play more. The pro was, I feel like it wasn't lacking.
Packed, man.
It's still packed.
Pro. Absolutely packed.
I will give it to that. This pro is still
it
packed.
It is still packed, but the premium is still cooler because that hand is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Corbin, Thoughts on X-Men? I know X-Men? now that you've had more than
I know the pro is packed. I definitely felt good about that, and I like it. I still like it. I think it's a cool game. I think there's some cool shots. I think it just gives me like a similar to it's just that Jack Danger vibe as far
the Jack
as like
Danger, man.
It gives it's you so the good. Same like with Foo Fighters where there's just like interesting ball pass where it just goes where you don't expect it. There's some good flow. You
like,
get some
ooh,
good
that was
combos.
Nice and clean. Why is it on my right flipper again?
Yeah, exactly. Like I like it. It's quick. So I'm a fan.
And I feel
I
like
the Danger Room.
Like it's like I don't even pay any attention to like the X-Men part of it. It's just like the play of it's cool. So for me,
yeah, no, completely agree. And the code's been coming along fast and furious for that since the game's launched. Yeah. There's already have been 3 updates, 2 of them that were substantial. So it's went from being a 4 mode game into having some real depth already. I think it was like at 0.86, 0.87, something like that. Corbin's mad pinball commitment to this is we haven't unboxed one to play here because we sold all of the LEs.
Keep buying them.
We sold all of the pros.
I wanted
to
unbox that last LE so bad because that powder coating was so pretty.
Oh, and now literally the premiums are coming next week and we might sell all of those. If we sell all of those, we might still be X-Men-less. Oh, but yeah, we've been.
We won't do that. Sorry, somebody's getting cut.
We've been really lucky here.
I bet we can get another one.
The last couple months, getting
We need an X-Men.
Going crazy through all these X-Men. All of our. I can officially say now that all of our Metallicas are deposited on. So all of the LEs are.
I will say the Metallica surprised me. I didn't expect the people to be this wild about it.
I was just disappointed that I didn't get to play it, and I was there for 2 full days.
Yeah, like Saturday. Or if we would have went to the Stern party on Friday, they had them there on microphone.
So on Thursday,
still we didn't go.
Well, the Wednesday event that they did, at Top Golf, they had them there, and then Friday they had them for the Stern tour, and then Friday night for the Stern party, Stern.
I think it was Army.
Army party. Yeah. Thank you. They took it over to microphone. Took them over there.
A couple of them over there is what they said.
Yeah, well, it's the same 2. And then they brought those 2 over to Expo. And I heard on Saturday the lines for that were you were waiting an hour to play it, which is bonkers. But yeah, we're deposited out now on all of the premiums. So if you want to get on the list for a second build, let us know. Email Jeff or Corbin at madpinball.com and we can get you hooked up. And I can tell you from my list of people who are depositing on the games, almost all of them are looking for like the full accessory bundle. So I'm really hoping Stern goes.
They actually do it.
Hog wild on building these accessories because everyone's wanting toppers and expression lights.
We'll get it 8 months to a year from now.
They're saying December. They're saying that's what they're saying.
I'm always
okay.
Oh,
all right.
I hope so. It's like sometimes it's just like they always say that. Then it's like, where's Venom?
All right. So I want to hit a little.
Hold on. I want to talk about something from Expo still.
Yeah. Go for it, man.
Okay. Alice. We didn't even talk about Alice.
I'm sorry. What?
I was going to try like. Wait.
Are you talking about that little cabinet that had no play field that was called Wonderland? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah. That thing was amazing.
Commercial cabinet for $800. Yeah. Let's do it.
Get it, Corbin. Talk about Alice. Let's go.
I waited in line and I played it.
That's it.
And I talked to what's his name? Renish or whatever how you say it, about Midnight Madness because on the clock in the pictures it says Midnight Madness. So I'm like assuming, like, you know, well, actually,
the clock has to be
Anna's
set.
The one who spotted it. She spotted it and she's very like, does this mean? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to find out. So we asked. It's more like a funhouse kind of a, like, you know, you do certain things to achieve to get the clock to midnight. You know, the funhouse is now closed. Alice in Wonderland is now Midnight Madness. And he said it's very similar to what we're considering a traditional Midnight Madness, but it's
you can achieve
you
it
trigger
anytime.
It at will based on how you play.
Right.
So I played a game on it. I got 2 balls. It's a beautiful game.
It's gorgeous.
No question about it. Definitely has circus vibes. Theater Magic or Tales, like, it has J-pop vibes. There's no question about that. But I played 2 balls, 1 game, so it's like, even when I talked to him and he asked what I thought, it's like, I love the way it looked, but I really don't have a feel for the gameplay or anything like that.
In that environment, it's almost impossible.
It's like, you got 2 balls with 16 people behind you. Like,
you can't hear it.
You can't hear shit.
And I heard other people saying, too, that, like, the upper playfield was disabled.
Somebody said it was officially disabled.
But when I played it on Thursday.
It was on.
I played it. It was fully playable.
It ended up getting disabled,
and then they're talking about changing it to make it more different. I don't know.
Because there's not like a certain ramp to get up there. It's like you have to like do a certain thing, right, and then it like
kicks it up there.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm still super stoked about it.
You know why I'm stoked about it?
Because I bought one.
There you go.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm going to love to play Corbin's.
That's fine. And I'm fine with that. That's why I got one. I'm excited to play it.
Yeah.
And that's why the people of Quarter Up are so darn spoiled. What's come? Yeah, I thought it was gorgeous. I thought the powder coating on it was amazing.
The lighted side rails was a nice touch.
The topper with the
eyes were very cool.
And they were talking about doing some stuff into the teeth as well.
I like it. The mold, I mean, it was very beautiful. It's definitely one of the ones, and I think you said like Scooby-Doo, you just want to hang out and look at it.
Just take it in.
Yeah. Like it's.
Well, I feel like you can put it in the middle of a room and literally, you know, it's like a nice car, you know, where you're gonna walk around it and just take
each time.
It's not something you're gonna appreciate in a row of 10 Sternellis.
Yeah,
you know,
and I'll tell you this too: as critical as a lot of folks were about the art in person,
I think everybody has recanted on it.
Yeah, I feel like it's
not 10-year-old Alice in Wonderland. No.
Yeah. It's not like it was in your face. It's like, yeah, it's there, but unless you're like micro focused on it or macro focused on it.
I thought it all felt cohesive. Felt
yeah. No, I definitely am very excited for them to start building those and get that in.
Yeah.
What else was interesting at Expo? I got some time on ABBA. Didn't fall in love there.
My thing for Expo was I just coming in as late as we did and everything. I feel like I was at Expo for a blink, personally.
Yeah.
Did anybody get to enjoy the pre-war?
The speakeasy, I didn't make it over the 1930s.
It was the best thing there. It was cool.
We played those a decent amount last year one of the years whenever we had a lot of time.
They had all set up.
He had a bigger booth this year, I thought.
Oh, it was huge.
It was pretty cool.
It's probably like 20, 25.
Oh, easily, yeah.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah.
No, kudos to Rob Burke and the Burke family, everyone that was involved. The 40th anniversary expo was...
Electric Playgrounds booth was... I know you touched on some of the homebrews, but like their overall booth was next level. Like that was huge. Like they're apparently like big time.
Yeah, they did it. And so it was three times as big as a normal booth. So they had all of their toppers on display there. They had their new Attack from Mars 1 up on a game for everyone to check out and get their orders in on. They had their new Captain Fantastic one, which was very, very cool.
I need to call them and tell them I need both.
Yeah, the art style on that one. Well, you need to get your hat, too.
And my hat. What's it going to take for me to get both and a hat?
I don't think it's going to take a lot, buddy.
I know. My service is still sitting in his house. So.
And well, every time I see a picture come out of the shop, I look at it and go...
There was one to the far right today, and I'm like,
there she is. Anything going on top up there?
Yeah, that's mine.
What's happening? But no, I was actually talking to Robin this morning about their plans for 2025, and to say that your minds will be blown by two out of the three things that he's talking about. I mean, the third one,
66.6 is not bad.
Well, the third one, they don't have 100% locked in. They're still making some decisions on. But the two that he described to me in depth and then shared some images of.
I'm hoping Circus is on that list.
People are going to be like... save a few dollars because you're going to need to get these. And, you know, he was talking about doing, hey, you don't even have this game. I'm going to do desktop art or wall art for it. So we'll get you hooked up one way or the other.
Love some good war. I bought a sweet Darth Vader from Brian Allen's booth when I was at
Expo.
I love
Brian Allen's stuff. Yeah. He does such a great job.
So awesome.
But yeah, I was just going to do my little Mad Pinball sponsor/partner highlight, and it was going to be the Electric Playground. Corbin absolutely killed it on that. No, it was the perfect lead in, man.
Oh, perfect. And yeah, so, you're welcome.
The Electric Playground, check out their social medias. It's TEP, TEP Pinball, the Electric Playground. If you're looking to order something, you can do it straight from their website, or you can hop on the Mad Pinball website and place an order as well.
My level of fandom for them is at the point where I let them borrow one of my children that never leaves my house. So.
Literal children.
It doesn't even get to come to my house. No, everything's at my house.
It doesn't
go
anywhere. Yeah, you get exactly. I got to have something. But yeah, no, they have Circus out there right now.
All right,
they got some cool stuff.
I think it's time now for everyone's new
favorite segment, a little trailer talk with our friend Corbin. Corbin, give us the current state of your trailer. So, in case you missed the last episode, Corbin and I had a time in Western Ohio where we blew not one, but two tires.
Well, one went flat, one blew. One right. was a lot more violent than the other. But.
When the second one blew, it also blew off the fender.
Yeah.
So, do we have new tires on the trailer? Like, give me the current status. Because we're about Monday. We're looking at doing some serious moving here.
Yeah, I went ahead and pulled the other fender off so they matched. I'm
going for fully open wheel.
Full rat rod vibe is what I'm going for. So, yeah, that's the status. I have not... I left mismatched tires, too, because that goes for the rat rod vibe. And I've actually added some random splotches of spray paint across the sides and around.
A little bit of pinstriping.
I drove through a big pile of paint as well, so it just splattered, gave it that natural look. So it's going good. I think you'll be excited about the way it looks on Monday.
I'm pretty excited. So
it looks exactly the same as you last saw it.
So after the last episode when we talked
about... We are sponsored by Summit, though. Summit did hook me up with some Summit Racing, hooked me up with some new tires, and they are sitting out there in the garage near the trailer. So that's good. I just haven't had a chance to straighten the fender and then put two new tires on. And we're going to check the bearings. And I think, was there something else we were going to do?
Grease the bearings.
Grease the bearings, yeah, as we were going to do. So check and grease them.
Were those some of the maintenance tips that you were given after our last episode?
We're going to take all the maintenance tips. And I'm actually planning for the very near future as well to reseal the front where the diamond plate meets the trailer itself. Because from time to time, you're driving in some heavy rain or whatever. Sometimes a little
moisture
gets in there, so... Something to keep in mind. But no, I got some plans. I'm thinking we'll put her up on blocks here next week, week after, whenever we stop using it so much.
I mean, you'd already given her some nice love here early on in the spring where you redid the entire interior.
Oh, yeah. I was out at FedEx the other day and we just had the truck and he's like, oh, you don't have the fancy trailer today? I'm like, was somebody else picking up games? Jeff, come on. It's not his trailer. He wants somebody else to have a trailer.
They don't even know me out there anymore. It's all Corbin. Nah. Where's Corbin?
What can I say? Bring him treats, little candies.
So what were we being told that you're supposed to get new trailer tires every 5 years or something?
Actually, Ben said four. Which I'm thinking maybe in the next... If we're going down to Columbus on Monday, maybe we should see if he can record with us while we're down there. And we have to remember, if we go to Columbus on Monday, we just have to be back by...
Seven.
Quarter up. Yeah, perfect. Perfect. Oh, what's up, man?
So that's our little trailer talk with Corbin tonight. What else do I have on my notes?
We'll get it back
here
together. And we're driving today. My dad was driving and he was like hitting some problem. I'm like, oh. So, backed into Keith's driveway the other day. That was a challenge.
Driving it today.
Construction's all fucked up.
And your dad went to
Coin Op Amusement Warehouse again. Yeah.
Up in Cleveland,
where we got Congo from the guy up there with the insane. He had the operator calling jukebox.
And so your dad got the full jukebox tour, and you said there were some jukebox turnover up there with a different version.
He's added more jukeboxes in.
That's crazy.
He's
added. It wasn't
that
long ago.
Oh no! And there's like rows out in the area. He's like, oh, these are all part of the collection. I just can't fit them in. They're all just covered in tarps and everything. But he had. So we originally saw the Wolitzer version of the operator calling jukebox up out there today. He has the Seberg version as well.
Oh.
It's like, and he's showing you stuff. He's like, oh, this is one of three in existence.
Of course.
Because how many just got thrown in the dumpster?
Oh,
yeah. The thing he was showing me, too, was like, it was like the goofiest, like, it's like these ideas that were like, okay, yeah, it doesn't really make sense. Like, there are wall boxes. There's a time where wall boxes, you didn't even choose what song you were playing. You just put money in and hit play, and then it would just play whatever was next. There was jukeboxes that were literally stacks, and whatever was next on the stack, it would flip on and it would play. Then you'd put your money in, your nickel in or whatever. It'd flip on. You get to the bottom stack, somebody go over and shuffle them up, throw them back on. Like, it was just, it's just crazy. And it's like seeing the jukeboxes up there and then just hearing the history of it from Ben, it's just crazy. And like some of these jukeboxes are just works of art. They're not even like, and I can't agree with him more when he's like, the jukeboxes today are not jukeboxes they were back then. And just to think about, like, if these jukeboxes could tell stories, like, of the places they've been and the things that they've seen, like, it would be
And that's exactly what I thought when we were out at Todd and Barbara's dropping off their games of, you know.
He didn't have anything like hers, like Barbara's. Yeah. And I was like, ooh, next time we're up, Jeff has to show the video.
Show him the picture.
He didn't have any cassette tape ones either.
We might know about some jukeboxes that even Ben doesn't know about. I don't know.
My dad had one he was describing that was in the basement that Ben had no idea what he was talking about, too. And I'm like, really? Mm.
Was it the trash can?
No. Oh, he had like four of those up there.
Of course.
all the different shades that they offered.
No, I definitely am interested to get with your dad and get his reaction on all of that, because I'm sure it was a lot to probably take in.
It was.
Some cool.
I was really glad, though, that I talked. It was like talked him into going and everything. He really... It was cool.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a good time. But that's definitely a good relationship that we've been building up there because he brings in some interesting stuff.
Ghostbusters Pro today.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
If you think about, like, if the manufacturer made those original jukeboxes that just stacked the records, saw today's, like, download box, like, how, you know, blow their minds away.
Where's this music coming from? You're pulling it out of the air?
I think he might have got... Do you remember a couple years ago in Wolitzer, the factory or whatever did an auction of a bunch of random stuff they had around. I think he got some stuff from there because up in, and not in the jukebox room or whatever, but like out in the warehouse, up on top of one of the shelves, there was like one of the ones that looked just like, it was like a download, but it looked really old and it was still in the crate, but the front of the crate was off and it was like, that looked just like it.
Yeah.
He also ended up with the row on the, off the old factory, the row AMI sign, like the big ass letters.
And that's cool.
And we're like, dude, how'd you end up with these? Like, well, somebody sent us a picture of a jukebox they wanted to sell. In the background, I could see it. Mm-hmm. One of the employees had, when they were tearing the building down, had pulled off the building, took it home and hung it on his fence for like 30 years.
Jesus.
And so he ended up getting it from there.
It's like one of those things that says like something on whatever. Cool stuff.
Yeah, right? Well, he's in the background I saw him. He's like, ooh. So I'm like, what's up with that?
It's like a push mower.
Well, when he spent all that time, you know, I think he's originally from Hagerstown, Maryland, which, as people probably know of all the shipping port stuff that's been going on recently, that's where all that stuff comes in and out of. So him and his dad have been in and out of warehouses and barns and buildings and stuff for, you know, 80 years, 70 years, and they just happen upon stuff that's... just hanging out, collecting dust.
I mean, even in our travels, you come across so much randomness. Yeah. It's awesome.
And he's not afraid to hit the road with the truck and trailer, and if somebody's got a lead, go in there and see, you know, what's going on. Absolutely. American picker style.
He does, for sure. So it was a good time up there. Good trip.
I heard one dude died. One of the American pickers died.
What?
Frank died.
Was it Frank?
Yeah.
Frank's dead, man.
The pudgier one or the...
The pudgier guy.
The pudgier guy, yeah.
Okay.
R.I.P. Frank Fritz.
R.I.P. No man.
It's just a description. We're just narrowing it down.
But no, I'm glad you guys had a good time. I definitely was intrigued to hear and see all that of what
cars up
in
there now too.
Yeah, I definitely want to get back at some point and just want to continue that relationship because of all the reasons we've already talked about. It's good that he's in and out and seeing some interesting things that maybe we can pick a few things from the picker.
And it's in like his level, I'll just say it one more time, his level of jukeboxes and wall boxes and speakers, like it's museum. Yeah. It's like a museum. It honestly is. And the knowledge he has, it's impressive. It's even better. It's just, I'm glad to see it being preserved.
Without a doubt. No, you'd mentioned it off podcast and I'm definitely going to make it a goal of mine to try to get him on for a special episode where we can do some talk about.
Dude, we can go sit in his, I'll go sit in his jukebox room and talk to him.
Yeah.
Like, I would love that because he, just listening to the stories, and he knows, like, he remembers each one you talk to him about. Like, one was, like, the sound tower or something. I don't remember what it was. He can tell you exactly how, the condition he found it, what he's done to it since, where it came from. Like, he remembers it all.
Yeah.
So it's, like, it's just, and it's so cool to hear because a lot of those, like, all the operator calling ones, they've all been new in box he's found. None of them have been, like, ones that were ever actually operated.
Yeah.
So...
Well, I know I'd told you this.
It's crazy to find new in box that old.
Oh, without a doubt. Just hanging out in the crate for decades.
The other
decades.
Ones burned.
Burned.
The first time I met his dad out in Hagerstown, he took me into his office, and his desk was a pool table, but it was a special, like, smaller custom pool table desk made by name a pool table manufacturer.
By Bally.
That if you Valley, yeah, if you sold enough pool tables or were a big distributor, you got that desk.
That's
and it
sick.
Was
I love shit like that. That is
it
so
was cool. In I'm just, you know, was drooling all over. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna take my strange science with me, but I'm gonna drool on your awesome pool table
that's
desk for a
sick.
While. But yeah, they've had things and seen things that, you know, us mere mortals haven't had the opportunity.
And we even operate on the edge, so
yeah, no kidding. All right, we're approaching the hour mark already. We're going to
talk
ramblings.
About some mod makers, and now we're
going to yeah, let's yeah, go.
Let's go. So, Electric Playground was at the top
Electric
of the list.
Electric Playground, for sure. Coolest aftermarket toppers around.
I love the cool stuff. I mean, their Attack from Mars is a fully licensed through Planetary Pinball. So all of it is on the up and up and is legit.
I have the Twilight Zone sent at my house with a topper, and it's so awesome. When we
had one of the first ones on location.
Yeah,
we did. I got in with Robin when they were doing not the official Godzilla
the
topper.
Other Godzilla
yeah,
topper.
The other Godzilla topper. So I've got the old school. And just for me, anyone can make a cool flat plastic that has some lights that ties into a flasher or ties into a whatever. The level
it's deep. Not just jumpers off of your flasher. It's
the level that they yeah. integrate their toppers.
And it's only excelling, like it's only getting better.
It's going beyond what even some of the legit like manufacturer ones yeah. are in terms of build quality mm-hmm. and everything else. I just feel so fortunate to have
I'm just happy to be a part of it.
That's exactly
and I
it.
Plan to keep on, you know, we have all their toppers so far, so we'll just keep that trend going. But so they're cool, Keith is our dude.
I was going to say Keith, dude. Nesbitt's whatever.
Nezzy's Prince.
Yep.
He just came out with a new mod, by the way, for Indy 500s. The
Coincidentally,
Opto.
I dropped Indy 500 off 2 days ago.
The Opto 4-bank.
He did, yeah. The 4-bank in the bracket for it that is like used to be unobtainable.
Yeah.
He printed it up and it's available for a fraction of it. But his stuff is all available off the website, too. I think it's under like Nezzy's Pinball yep. mods or something.
So on our website, you can go to Nezzy's Pinball Prints, Nezzy's, or he also has a shop set up on Pinsize
and
as well.
The link jumps you to a shop on Pinsize, yep. so that's where you're headed. But yeah, no, he does some cool stuff and just stuff that's like needed more so than anything else, like really useful stuff, levels, corner protectors. This Indy 500 mod, the Scooby-Doo mod,
Scooby-Doo shooter,
the auto launcher. I was wondering, do you think that would help out these X-Men whiny people?
So I mean, I've been digging into that a little more, and you're running into a couple things with X-Men. One, if you have your auto launch turned up too high, what's happening then is you're causing some side to side vibration of the ball, right? Yeah. Which rattles it around, which is then causing it to lose some momentum. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing you're running into is that crossover when it goes around the back. If those flaps aren't in there, you know, laying correctly, then you're losing more momentum. Okay. So it's a couple different little things that are going on. And
I don't know if his would help then. But his on the Scooby-Doo, I will say, it's been on location because those rivets were blown out. And I'm like, I'll order a new one, but we'll throw it in for now. And that's been like 3 months and it's still hitting strong. So
nice.
Now, another mod maker that I've been impressed with are the Lior mods. Mm. I had the opportunity to put in a few of his on somebody's Lebowski, and then to see the crossover that people like him and a few of the others have been doing, to where now some of the smaller manufacturers are leveraging them for light boards and for mm-hmm. like Alice has.
I mean, Dutch is using what was his
name? I didn't want to say Stumbler. Thank you. Stumbler. I couldn't think of it.
Yeah, yeah, they're using his stuff. He's involved with it or whatever. And he also
his
buddies
shit's like super expensive.
Right.
It is.
Because yeah. it's legit.
It's like a $300.
He puts like some real, like it's not just
tech into it.
Yeah, exactly. And he's buddying up with the Electric Playground guys too. They're buddies.
And that's what's neat to see is you have Electric Playground, you have Lior, you have Stumbler, and they're all working kind of in the same little, you know, circles of everyone else, and then you see these manufacturers then leveraging them to produce parts for their machines. It's like,
that's wild.
It's so cool.
It's crazy to think about too. Like if you're just doing this as like a hobby, selling stuff on Pinsight and all that, the next thing you know, Dutch Pinball or somebody else is like, hey, we got a new game. You want to be a part of it?
Well,
hey,
that was like with the homebrew.
Hey, can you manufacture this for me?
Yeah. No, well, I mean, it was like with the homebrew section. I saw pictures of George and Keith, Elwin, and a few others playing a lot of these games. And then thinking, well, like, that was Jack Danger a few years ago. That was yeah. Keith Elwin a few years it ago. Was. That was Ryan McQuaid a few years yeah. ago. And now these guys have jobs.
Has Scott Ryan McQuaid Denisi. Gotten to design
Scott
Denisi,
Mark Seiden that just did Avatar. Like, all yeah. of these people came from the homebrew community that now have legit manufactured
games
out
blood.
There.
New blood into the mix isn't bad.
It's great because you're not just getting recycled things, ideas over and over. You're
Love
getting
you, Steve
some
Ritchie.
Fresh... Oh, I... We wouldn't be where we are without Steve Ritchie and John Borg and some of these other designers. But you know what? Some of the
Did you
fresh
see Borg
blood is bringing in is crazy.
Damn, he must have been laying low because you always find him.
Well, since he had Metallica, they had him here, there, and everywhere doing things. So
he was on tour.
He wasn't allowed to just hang out and smoke.
So all day Friday, that was during the Stern tour.
Never saw him on a smoke break.
Yeah, he was chained to that. Yeah, we didn't even run into him at Logan.
That's what I'm saying. Normally, yeah, we saw him like last year. We saw him like two or three times.
Yeah,
interesting.
Mm, they got him locked up.
Any other mod makers?
So, like, what about like Mezel?
I did see their
super clean, like,
real nice prints,
very
cool
stuff. I've definitely gotten a few of those. There's LER mods is another one I've used in the past that has always had some very cool stuff.
Diddy's mods I've had really good success with. So one of our local customers, Scott Dye, who we saw at the show as well, bought a ton of the Diddy's mods.
Yeah.
And I spent several hours installing them. And I got to say, like, handling them and all of that, they were all nice quality, nice prints, nice colors, all of that stuff.
What's your one buddy out there, dude, the Adams Family ones? You know what I'm talking about?
Lee's parts.
Lee, yeah. He does some very nice stuff, too. His instructions are real nice. Like, I thought his stuff was cool.
That's what I was impressed with. The Diddy's mods and one of the other ones that I did, they came packed. They were just in like little Ziploc bags, essentially, mm-hmm. and they each had a QR code. You hit the QR
Which
code with your phone.
Such a good idea.
Takes you to a PDF mm-hmm. or takes you to a video, and I'm like, wow, this is awesome. Mm-hmm.
That's how it should be. You shouldn't have to fight for instructions and stuff.
And I had great success. So Belt King had hooked me up with a set of the pin lights, and I put them in my Deadpool. Super solid, super easy installation.
I have a set I need to go install on somebody's.
I mean, obviously, once I put those pin lights in, you put up the GC, so it made you a better player.
I don't know. When you're good, you're good.
You could see it.
I could see the ball. It was magic. Yeah,
there's a ball.
I still don't know what I'm doing, but...
But yeah, if you have a favorite mod maker out there or someone who makes pinball parts, let us know.
I feel like we're forgetting about somebody.
Zach,
like,
who should they email if they want to send us in?
Freshpinball@gmail.com.
Don's been doing some random stuff lately.
So he had some of his Sentinel shooter rods.
Because he's also like, he's now offering like the Don's... edition of games.
That's right.
Which is so crazy.
He did what, the chum bucket for the KFC bucket?
Yeah,
the
chicken wing bucket. Yeah. For
he
Jaws.
Did some cool Elvira stuff. He's been doing start buttons, all kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah. What I'm interested to see come from him next is his homebrew.
Yeah,
that he was talking
Zelda.
About.
Yeah.
The Zelda. Because I know he was talking to some people there with Fast and in the homebrew section about starting to program this thing up. So I think it's coming, becoming a reality.
It's exciting.
It is. It's easy to talk about it and it's easy to speculate and whatever else, but there are people out there like doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as a Zelda fan, you know, just want to play it.
What about art blades? What kind of art blades do you guys prefer?
The,
Tilt Graphics always has like, they have like, there seems like some nice thicker.
Barry
Allen's.
Not Barry Allen. Brian Allen. Brian Allen. You just bought those.
Yeah, and they're thick. It's like the materials are all different. So that's why it's always interesting to me to try the different ones. Because we've done those.
Those mirrored ones with the
multiple layers.
The mirrored ones.
Like on Scared Stiff.
Yeah.
That was Tilt, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They also did the light up ones too, like on Dialed In, which I thought were too thick. I wasn't crazy about those.
So
and they ran all the time, so it was kind of it kind of tripped me out.
And
a little
they
bit.
Put feedback into the speakers.
They did. Those caused more
getting
problems.
Getting the play field up and down. It just the concept of it. I liked the execution
cool idea for
of
sure.
it. Just
normally
was great.
Tilts though is a thicker material that doesn't get torn up too easily. So I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, with Tilt Graphics, you're going to get a quality product, and you're going to get titles that there were never art blades for.
Retro Refurb. That's the one from overseas. Okay. I've done a few times, a decent amount of times actually. It's a little bit of a thinner of a material, but it is, they have a lot of different designs. And that's like, sometimes for me, it's like, I'll ignore it. It's like, oh, I'm not crazy about the material they use, but I like the design. Because it's like, if it fits it perfectly and it feels cohesive, then that's what I'm for.
So talking about art blades a little bit, you know.
I mean, Sterns are nice too. Like their factory ones
ones are fantastic. Yeah, those are nice. Those are my favorites because they're the legit ones and by the legit artists.
It ties in guaranteed with the art.
World under glass.
Well, whenever we were demoing one of the Ninja Eclipse games over there, I thought Chris Turner did a pretty good job of showing us that along the edges of his play fields, he lined them with felt.
The prototype didn't have that, but it's
cool. So whenever
one of the ones I ordered.
Them,
so do you remember on Twilight Zone? Nice. I had that first set that was like garbage.
It literally got warm, and they
It came with felt, though, to put on the edge of the play field, like, as part of the kit. And it was like, holy shit, I've never seen this before. It's like, maybe they did that. They're like, our blades suck. And that was, like, some eBay, like, no name, whatever.
Right.
And it's like, but I love the design, yeah. So I went for it. But then
the black and white swirl ones.
Yeah. Yeah. But then I found them from Tilder somewhere. That was, like, a better. But the it did come with that little felt.
I love
felt
that lining, idea,
which I was like, oh, okay, that actually, it did make, there was only one part of it that it made too tight to even, like, do anything with. So I trimmed it, but it was a good idea.
But how cool is it of a manufacturer to put that on the play field out because of the box?
It's inevitable. As careful as you are.
Doesn't matter.
As much as you pay attention. I still end up fucking them up. Oh. Even with the protectors and all, I still fuck it up.
Well, the problem with the protectors for me is they're just so, yeah, you either don't have it with you, they don't fit nicely into the cabinet, you try to put them on there and they're falling off while you're
falling
doing whatever.
Falling off all the time.
Our pets' heads are falling off! Yeah.
Fuck!
It's like whenever you have Penn Stadiums in a game, it's the same thing with the Turner
Every
game.
Time I pick it up, they get dumped off.
Yeah, so with Turner, they have the lights integrated into the cabinet glass frame that comes off in one piece. So now when I want to lift my play field, I take off the frame, which takes the lights
if
off.
You're clear then.
Which now I lift up
which
my play
American
field.
Which American also has down. I'll give it to them because their Aura lighting is mounted to the side rails.
To the play
so.
Field.
Yeah, with BBQ. Barrios.
Yeah, they're supposed to be. So I was talking
to add-ons, right?
Yeah, to Ron over at American, and they have a lot of really cool stuff coming, pinball wise, add-ons, polycades. They're going to be doing all kinds of cool stuff, but they're building from the Armatron side a bunch of PCBs for other amusement manufacturers. So they have some cool stuff coming. Definitely interested to see what game they have coming next. But yeah, they have lots of funness going on there. What else? So we're talking art blades, we're talking toppers, we're talking mods.
What about shooter rods? You guys shooter rod? I don't shooter rods aren't from like I don't end up doing them a lot. Those two LEs that are at my house right now, they have the Foo Fighters has the factory one, and the Turtles has like a head sculpted kind of a thing going on. And I'm kind of I could take it or leave it. I'm not a fan. Yeah, the lights on the Foo
I like the
one cool.
Zach makes.
Yeah. Sure, I am trying to make some custom ones.
I left
ones.
The doorknob on Munsters when I sent it out because I'm like, what are they going to do? Well, I mean, they'll probably rip it off.
Nah,
the
doorknob will be fine.
It's just a doorknob.
No, I'm not a huge fan. I have them on a couple of my games, but like I was playing the Avatar CE at Expo, and it had like the arrow. Fins on it or whatever. I don't know. They're just awkward more often than not to me.
Alice is the dagger.
Yeah. I just like a traditional one or like the ones that Zach makes.
I like
the
J-pop balls.
I love J-pop balls.
Yeah, the silver ball. Mm.
This explicit episode is brought to you in part by Angelique Starnopoli. But yeah, shooter rods I can take or leave.
Art blades I'll do. Toppers I'm in.
Anything where you can bring the art of the cabinet through the inside onto the should you though?
Dude, it's the only topper I haven't gotten. So just for consistency's sake, like in 20, 30 years, we're gonna be like, we should have got that man. Nah, but you probably won't. Man, I still don't think I like it then.
For like $4,200.
If it's working
for an LE, I assume.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff in the topper's working still.
True.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Never mind.
You need to get back to work on your all Dave Grohl Foo Fighters topper. You're,
oh, dude, that's the...
You're part of the way there. What, two-fifths?
We were talking about that earlier.
You can get the best of you.
The problem is on the right side, it's fine because he's having it that way, but with the guitar to be swinging the other way on the other side, so it's going to need to be the mirror image.
Can we get one and get it scanned, mirror it, and then have the Electric Playground guys print it for us?
I was just about to say that,
dude. Did we talk to them about keychains? We never did.
I didn't because you and I didn't see them together.
I barely saw them. Like every time I saw him, he was like, oh yeah, we got to talk, man. Let's hang out later. And I'm like, okay. But it's like, I get it though. We talk to him. We hang out outside of Expo.
Corbin
this
at Expo
is their time.
Was like a presidential candidate. Like I was just dragging him around by his elbow. Hey, this person wants to talk to you.
We're
this
slowly dialing in the perfect Expo time. And I'm thinking like maybe like a little longer.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe a little longer.
Just going to say it.
But no.
Leave earlier. I don't know.
What other kind of... So art blades, we talked about. Toppers, shooter rods.
Toppers, yeah. You guys in toppers? Like, what's the...
I do like toppers.
I do, too. I like them. And I think from an operator standpoint, like, they draw people in. Like, if you're looking at a row, and they're like, ooh, look at that tower.
I think it does. At least it does for me. But not if every game has one. I think you have to have some games that don't have them. That way the toppers, that do draw the eye.
Yeah. Okay.
It does make me a little sad that my Star Trek stays underneath the bulkhead in my basement, so there's no room for a topper on
that
one.
What is that topper?
So
I'm not even sure if I'm familiar with it.
It's a laserific one. It's not super fancy or
whatever. Did Stern do one, though, I mean?
Not that I'm aware of.
So
this
it's
one's
just,
an aftermarket.
Okay, I've seen that one then. Okay, I was like, I never even thought about that.
No. Nope, I was seeing actually some people in my feed, people popping up that were upgrading from pros to premiums. It's like, man, it's a slippery slope. Your pro turns into a premium. Next thing you know, you're driving to the mountains of Arkansas into the Ozarks, you know.
Yeah.
Picking up some LEs.
Right. Just you.
I was willing to trade in at least one of you to get that game. I mean, if I came back just, you know, me, the game, and one other person.
Dead to you.
I'd be fine with that, dude. If I stayed, I wouldn't have been mad.
It wouldn't have been so bad.
I'd be fine.
Kept feeding your ribs.
Yeah, if he kept cooking like he did then.
I was actually talking to Tim last week. He was asking about a Metallica premium. So they're both still hot in
the pinball action. And Tim are into it, so.
But yeah, if anybody wants to email us with your favorite mod maker or your favorite mod, or, you know, even whenever you get a game, what are, you know, a couple of the things that you immediately have to put on? I know if whenever Kyle gets a game, it's immediately, this is getting Art Blades, this is immediately getting a shaker. Like, that's the Kyle combo.
Mm. Yeah, Kyle has a Foo Fighters for sale right now.
Oh, yeah, talk about
that.
I
want to put that out there. Yeah,
tell him about it. Foo
Fighters Pro. Oh, you want a Foo Fighters Pro for...
$54.95.
Oh, he just dropped it a little bit from what he told me.
Pick up in Alliance, Ohio.
It's not much cheaper.
Hey.
Yeah, it's a good shooting game. We were playing it earlier.
How do they get at you, Kyle, if they're looking for a Foo Fighters?
You have a
Pro?
Shaker, don't you?
Just email us at freshpinball@gmail.com.
Very good.
There's a shaker in it.
What about those flippers, the lightning flippers, whatever they call it? Not the lightning flippers.
The precision flippers?
Precision flippers.
So Corbin has one game with
just
that?
The Foo.
The Foo?
Did you play it?
Oh, I could tell the difference, in my opinion.
It's almost too much.
It's cool.
I think it's almost too much.
It's almost too much. So much
I don't lighter. Think it's necessary, honestly, on that game.
Is
for
it
me,
lighter?
They're aluminum, they're cut out and all that, lighter. And they have ball bearings. Like the whole thing is like, there's no flip.
Talk about snappy.
In like, so they also have done slow motion videos where like they show the tip of the plastic on the plastic one. It's like
there's a little give
on the steel, on the aluminum one. It stays solid. There is no give at all. So like, I'm telling you, I think it's almost too much.
No, I felt the same way about that as I felt about Barrio. Whenever you put the steering coils in there,
I
want to
say
turned Barrio's up to max.
Want to warn the world that Barrio's is upgraded. It's going out in the world the way it should have. The way Barry Osler would have wanted it to be. It's
so,
going out.
So Corbin made me do a test. One
break
side, he
plastics.
Had the original coil.
I did Zach, and my dad.
Okay.
I had it all played to see.
And then the other side, he had the Stern coil. So I plunged the ball. I shoot the right flipper. I'm like, oh, that feels about the same as always. I finally get the ball over to the left flipper, and I basically blast the ball through the stand-up targets right up the middle. I'm like, ooh.
When I was backhanding the ramp...
That's how it should be.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah, here we go. And you could really rip that spinner then on the other ramp. Like, ooh, that was nice.
No, loving life.
It's going out to Holy Moly, so if you want to go down there.
Denison, Ohio, Holy Moly, check it out. Play some, what we're going to have, Barry O's will be down there on site. Then that'll be joining Rush Premium and Indiana Jones, the Pinball Adventure.
Yes.
So nice trio down there.
So do we want to talk about the top earners at Quarter Up for the past week?
Oh, please do. You know, this is one of my favorites.
No, I'm sorry, not to jump topics, but I was just thinking about
this
it.
No, this is the time.
Yeah, Holy Moly, yeah, go check it out. Their beer. They got the things. So, Quarter Up, we have a number of games up there. I want to talk about the top three. What do you guys think? And so just to give you some references, the past, let's say, 2 to 3 weeks, the games I've added in, because new games, I will say, are always should be considered, I mean, just for the factor of new. So Black and White Monsters and Scared Stiff are both real fresh.
Avatar's
ahead.
My pick for heaviest
Avatar's
cash
up there.
Fan.
Yeah, Avatar's up there. Okay, so Jeff's on Avatar.
Scared Stiff.
Because
you don't see him anywhere.
I already told Kyle.
Jaws is also on my list of heavy cash band
okay.
for top three. And then...
Wizard of Oz.
Ooh, okay. That's always a solid choice.
So that's what we're going with.
Yeah, sure.
And I should also add in, Lebowski was unplugged for some unknown reason and only had like 550 in it. So I don't want to talk
550?
About
that. 550? I mean, 350.
Okay. Pretty. So
350.
I'd say top was 330. Black and White Monsters.
Really?
Yeah.
That is phenomenal.
I think it's because I think it's just because the wild card hasn't been there before. I think
and you don't see him.
The new excitement factor.
Hmm.
So then we come in with Scared Stiff.
Oh yeah.
What?
And Jaws.
I'm not that surprised. It's a solid game, dude. Yeah.
No, Avatar in the top.
Avatar was up in the same range too.
He
but
asked
I
me
say.
What was in the cash pan after.
He
one
guessed
week.
In $2 of it. Just so we're clear,
with $2,
he did. Yeah,
that is impressive.
Nice.
Yep,
he did. I was like, yeah.
So Monsters, good. Scared Stiff, and
Jaws. In Avatar, I'd say it was close to Jaws. Yeah. They weren't far off. Waz is
it's always
always.
There.
Wick was another one that surprised me this week. Wick had some good money in still.
The more I play Wick, I love the shots on it. It's challenging. It's brutal. Yeah. The more
Looney
stuff
Tunes
they put
has
in
dropped
it.
Off. I mean, pretty decently.
Yeah, it's been up there a minute for
I think
sure.
It's time for a fresh spot for that. But
maybe,
yeah,
maybe
so that
swap
would be
Scooby for it.
That's what I considered, but that'd be putting Scooby up a quarter up, or are we putting her into the gauntlet?
Feet into the fire, man.
Whatever. I mean, it'll be fine.
Of course it'll be fine. And if it's not, just gets turned off and makes $5.50.
It wouldn't be a bad idea to swap it.
Dude, no, because Looney Tunes would be great at
it. It wasn't turned on. It was unplugged.
Oh. Looney Tunes would be.
It pisses me off even more.
Back in action.
And they left the topper plugged in. Like, really? We can't turn it all off? Come on, guys.
You're killing me here.
But so that was our top three for last week. Jaws has been pretty consistent. I think that ever since the topper, they keep adding different modes and things. It's really been helping that, I'd say.
They've been killing it on Coda. Aren't they like 0.97 or something on that? So
yeah,
you're literally going
to
be looking at it at the end of the year. It'll be
by
at 1.0.
It absolutely will be. And then new, I'm telling you, the new factor is always a big thing to consider.
It is.
Especially new that you don't see.
Yeah,
that's what it comes down to. So.
I love that people are enjoying Monsters after it's 1 year of being detained.
It's like in my house for like 8 months.
It was at Zach's. It was at Corbin's. It was at Paul's.
That's a cool game.
It is.
It is so cool.
That Franchi art. Oh, okay. So before we wrap up here, I want to talk about.
Are we getting close to that?
Yeah, I mean we're approaching an hour and 30 minutes here. Kyle's. Kyle accosting Bug at the spooky booth on at Pinball Expo.
Honestly, if they still have that, like we should just get it for Kyle for Christmas.
So tell everyone about this.
I kind of wanted though
about this Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It was Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
playfield that like, they had up there.
I'm like
the only
man,
one
like,
of the few spookies we don't
absolutely
have.
Absolutely no clear or like final artwork whatsoever.
You can feel the different layers of stuff.
Yeah, you can just like it's dull.
Yeah,
dull. So like, I looked at it. Phil's like, we should hide this. I'm like, okay. So we hit it.
Obviously.
The glossy one.
So you went into deep negotiations with...
I lost.
And you, instead of Kyle negotiating to get it for less...
Have you emailed him and been like, dude, I'll go up to 105.
Bug was arguing that it should in fact cost more because it's more
it
rare
like,
than
was,
any other place.
It was a prototype.
It was, though. Like, it did have like a lot of different
differences. It was very cool.
Very, very cool.
One of the first things you... pull me over and point it out.
So that was one of my highlights of Expo was the table that had all of the Bally drawings, like the hand drawn schematics.
The pinball vault
stuff.
I tried to buy one.
Dude, we were back. We were there on the days pre them trying to jack up the prices on stuff. We were getting stuff for 30, 80, 30, 45, 85, whatever dollars for like full.
So they had multiple
way too many of them
pages for a game near and dear to my heart, Strange Science,
mm.
But they wanted 500 a sheet for it.
Dude, they're getting greedy.
I had to pass.
With some of that.
I had to pass.
I should text Phil right now and find out where the flyers are.
Yeah, because we did collect some nice flyers from Expo.
And some cool plastics.
Yeah. All right, Zach, final thoughts on what we've talked about tonight, Expo, Pinball Olympics, any takeaways?
It was a good time, you know, looking forward to next year like always and seeing what's out there to play, what new games.
Let me wrap up with this for me. I want to get everyone's opinion except Kyle because he slept in the car on Pequod's Pizza. So there were some doubts. I finally wrangled everyone in to get my favorite Chicago pizza.
I never had any doubts. You said, do you want to get pizza? And I said, yes, let's eat.
And Zach's like, I've already filled my taco needs, so now you're saying pizza? Yeah. I'm
pizza,
in.
Let's go. You should have said earlier.
So I ordered an individual pizza and the Pequod salad, the small size. And they bring out this salad that was, it put Luigi's cheese salad to shame. It was, that was all I needed to eat. I couldn't even eat the pizza. There was so much food. So
if I have pictures of you from there looking like you're about to go in a coma.
Dude, I was dying.
It was some good pizza. I had some of the massive deep dish and some thin crust.
Yeah, because UNMB ordered the...
The thin.
I was also a little sad at that point because I think I was trying to watch the Guardians and things weren't going well that night.
I just kept zooming in. That's the weird brand that they have for the stupid
Enhance. Yeah. Enhance.
Enhance. Enhance. Enhance.
Kyle, any final takeaways, buddy?
Don't have dairy first thing in the morning.
Ooh, especially if you're lactose intolerant.
Yes.
I got the... So, Zach and I were talking about this earlier. From Portillo's, right? The
Italian beef sandwich.
Oh, my God.
Also, your pizza place. I've been there 3 or 4 times now. It's good. I'm not disagreeing. So,
that beef Portillo's sandwich. No, we got the Chicago beef. I take it back.
Did you go wet or dry?
I'm going to the...
What?
Euro place, man.
Oh, keep on that one.
Let's talk about some food. Yeah, let's talk about some more food.
Let's go back to Italian beef.
Let's talk about some food. I'm kind of hungry.
they're good.
The Italian beef, though, we got it from Portillo's because they were getting hot dogs. I'm like, hey, you know what? That picture looks...
We saw a huge 4-wide billboard on the highway. Like, dude, I need a beef sandwich.
So we tried it. And we got it. And it was. Have you tried it from there?
So you
are you a Chicago beef kind of guy?
So you can do the Italian kind of beef or Italian there
it's
with a, like
it's
the
Chicago
peppers
Italian.
And
what?
Yeah, we got the peppers and onions.
All of the works.
And then they do obviously the Chicago dog and the milkshakes and the cake.
Get that
and
shit dry with a side of sauce.
Again, as you
little dippy dip it.
I don't know what you're dipping in your sauce.
I wish I could remember the place, the name of the Greek place that we went, because that was decadent. Like, it was...
That Greek place was so good. I got some shish kebab, pork shish kebab.
I wish
we ate so much that we were, like, borderline, like, coma. Like, damn, we got to go down. Because that was, we were like, we're going to Logan now, I guess. Which, I mean, we all bounced, filled it in, but everyone else did.
No, I feel like at the Greek place, we could have planned it a little better to where each of us could have gotten something different, and then we could have done the whole little, like, sample off of
family style, like,
That would have been the move there.
It was good, though.
But while Pinball Expo was great, the eating was equally as good as it turns out.
Yeah, so we had that place, and then we had the pizza. So, I mean, that was both. Pizza. And then Portillo's, of course.
Well, I mean, the main takeaway for me was
the
7-Eleven race car gummies. That was the play for me. Kyle got some on the way into town, and I ended up taking 3 bags home of the race car gummies. There were little Supras. There were Chevy Malibus.
I didn't see these. This is the first time I heard about them. It was a little Supra.
Supras and Malibus?
Yeah, it was a Supra. And then like a Malibu Classic.
Have any Tauruses or anything?
2 Jay-Z.
I didn't see any shows.
You know those were THC gummies, right?
I wondered why I felt so weird.
They were green apple, man.
But no, good time was had by all, I believe. Definitely look forward to future pinball adventures with the crew. But yeah, Kyle, if you want to play us out with a little bit of... Mad
Do we have any other
jingle?
Events? Do we have any other events we want to talk about?
Yeah, we talked about the upcoming Halloween event. I don't think we really have anything else on the books other than if you want to follow on Facebook, the Hoover Pinball League, they're going to have their X-Men launch party coming up.
We should really do something with other people.
Yeah. We'll have some other fun events coming, but... If you're looking for something new in box or we have some cool trade-ins coming through, get at jeff@madpinball.com or corbin@madpinball.com.
And yeah, we can buy get that you game out of Jeff's house, whatever's over there.
The
so
Hobbit.
Yeah,
I got some good pictures of it.
And if you need anything from Fresh Pinball, who do you get a hold of?
Freshpinball@gmail.com.
Yep. Oh, thanks, Zach.
No problem, Kyle. I do my best.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and until next time... Keep it flippin' fantastic.
We just started over.